Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey or beard balm. As it were, from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. Special thank you to Jason of Jewish Dublin Walking Tours, who filled in for Ross while he is away. But now he is back, and you're making beard balm. Come on, what is it?
I'm back. I am back. Jono, thank you for having me back, and thanks to Jason for covering for me. Listen, while I was in Israel, you know, I've grown my beard out a little bit, but I was looking for the perfect beard balm, and ends up that my former supplier didn't respond to me. So I decided, well, let me find some more. So I Google beard balm, and I said, wait a minute, let me look for something biblically related. So I typed in Bible and a few other words. The first thing that pops up, Jono, said, make your own beard balm. And I said, I think I will. Right. I decided that I would make my own. So listen to this. I am cooking this stuff up in my kitchen now, and I have made batches, and this stuff smells like heaven. It talks about in Psalm 133, precious ointment upon the beard.
Yeah.
That's what I'm making.
Okay.
I'm making it in my kitchen. Yeah. Listen, get this, Jonah. This is not a joke, man. I'm serious. I have found my calling in life. I am going to make biblical beard balm. I've got a team right now working to build this website. Anna Jacobowski. Thank you, Anna, for always bailing me out. Anna is going to build me a website, biblicalbeardbalm.com. I've got a Facebook page already started. I'm just getting into this. My main concern is getting just the right, perfect ingredients. So you ready for this? Get this. I'm going to tell you the secret recipe. I'm not going to tell you the amounts of, you know, like, but you ready?
Yeah, tell us the 11 secret herbs and spices very quickly. Go.
Okay, here it is. You got to have the beeswax, the shea butter. You got to have, I'm using argan oil. I'm using sweet almond oil, Galilee green olive oil.
Oh, you're the best.
I'm telling you, and a couple of undisclosed at the present essential oils. This stuff is It's where holiness and manliness meets. That's what I got.
Where holiness and manliness meets. Biblical beard balm. You can find it right now on Facebook. You can go to that page. All right, my friend. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Doren and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Oh my goodness, it's good to have you back, my friend.
Man, how are you, Jono? I was really wondering since I've been gone. I know that Jason, good day, Jason.
Good day, Jason.
I know that, I thought maybe I lost my job. I was terrified that I would get back and Jason would say, no, I got this. We don't need you anymore.
Do you know what? He is absolutely flat out with Jewish Dublin Walking Tours. He's doing really well with that, and people are booking him to show them around the city and the Jewish heritage and history therein. He's doing an excellent job. So good day to Jason. Thank you for filling in. While
absolutely.
Ross was away.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I had a good time, and it's only because Jason could cover for me. And so I appreciate that, Jason.
There it is, Jewish Dublin Walking Tours. Go there and like the Facebook page and keep up to date. And if you want to book a tour, just send him a message. It's getting great reviews. Mate, it's been so long. Oh, my goodness. So you've been in Israel for the last, 6 weeks?
I tell you what, it was 36 days in Israel. That's really my longest time. I've been three, almost 4 weeks a few times, but this was a really long time. I had so much fun. I had an incredible time. I mean, I'd love to tell you a little bit about this. Well, this was
I got a lot of questions. My first question is, do you or do you not now work for the Mossad?
I do, and I really can't say it, but I just did. I did it on air. I admitted it. No, look, let me tell you, this is funny. I have to tell you, this is when I landed. Now, on the plane, I have to tell the story. On the plane, I happened to sit by a Catholic priest, and the Catholic priest
Hang on, wait a minute. How is it that you get to sit next? That's I would love to sit next to a Catholic priest. Every time I get on a plane, I think, just sit me next to a Catholic priest. I mean, that's the making of great conversation for hours on end, and it's a captive audience.
It is. Now, listen, now here's the thing, though. You know, sometimes I debate, should I even engage this person? It's a long flight. Maybe I'll look busy, act like I'm not, you know, and I started to do that. But this guy was really, really talkative, and he had a lot of questions. And one of the main reasons he wanted to talk was he had signed up, evidently, his parish, his church or whatever, and he was sort of the tour leader. They had a tour guide, but he really had never been. He didn't know anything. He was a little concerned about what they would do when they landed at Ben-Gurion. And so I took this guy under my wing. I said, you know, hey, I'm glad you're spending money. You could tell he loved Israel. So we had a nice, we didn't get into theology, obviously. That could have went down a really bad path. But, you know, so we get ready to get off. And I said, hey, look, man, just follow me and I'll show you the way.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to be a good guy. I'm going to take him down there and, you know, kind of help him through the process. Well, I get off the plane. I'm helping a lady with her bag. Her wheels are kind of hung. I'm helping her get her bag up. And I look up and there's this person standing with a sign with my name. And I'm not talking a magic marker. I'm talking printed up, nice, Mr. Ross K. Nichols. Now, I look at it and I said, hey, that's me. A guy goes, come with me. So I just lead the Catholics, and this was cool. Yeah. So I'm running with this guy. We get to the top of the escalator. He flashes a badge. We shoot down in this secret elevator. I end up in a car with VIP stamped on it, and it was so exhilarating. At one point, I thought I might be getting kidnapped for all I know. I mean, it was that rush.
So wait a minute. So you weren't expecting the VIP treatment. You didn't know that you were being greeted at the airport with a guy with a sign and all the red carpet and so on and so forth.
No. And it was so fun. I felt important for the first time in my life. Really, like people had done me right, and it was just incredible. So, but you know,
and
look,
this is all because you're a radio personality on Israel News Talk Radio, right?
They must have known. I guess Tamar called them. I don't know. But it just they rushed me through. It was the most amazing thing. I looked at my watch when the guy kidnapped me, and by the time I was out at the curb, it was like 14 minutes. Now you've been through that process.
Oh man.
Oh, it's unbelievable. So it was fun. So that's the way my tour started, you know, and I spent a week in a security training. It's called Advanced Security Training Institute. Some things I can tell you, other things, you know, they're top secret. No, they're not top secret.
Okay, now I am to understand that this is a counterterrorism training course. Is that correct?
It is, yep.
Fill us in.
Well, I tell you, this particular course, first of all, the man that runs it, the founder and president's name, Yisrael Safonsky, and he is an expert in this field. He's been on CNN, Fox News, Israel National News, you name it. I mean, this guy is a go-to guy, and he's become famous, whether he wanted to or not, because of his expertise. And what he does, he assembled this remarkable team of Israel special agents and various experts in disciplines associated with counterterrorism. He organized this incredible team, and they work primarily with groups from the U.S. In a knowledge share situation where you go to classroom training and field training. I'm telling you, it was leaders in the field in every discipline, including explosive devices, security, infrastructure. You know, we went behind the scenes. One of my favorite parts was we went to the airport and we met with the security leader there at Ben Gurion. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things as a tour leader, and you and I get this a lot, some people have questions like, well, is it really safe to go to Israel? I was already confident in the security of Israel. And I can tell you now, after going through a little over a week of this, blown away. Unbelievable security. When we went through this airport security, we went behind the scenes, stuff that people don't normally get to see. Mm-hmm. We went down below the main airport and you know, saw things like how do they do the luggage checks. And mm-hmm. by the way, my bag, I need to write this down right now because I need to call them. My bag was busted. I bought a brand new suitcase and it got busted. So I'm writing that down right now. I'm going to call them. But I now know where it happened. I can probably point out the guy that did it.
That did it? Are you serious? Yeah. So what? Yeah. So no, that's because like now things have changed a little bit over the years. The first time I went to Israel, I remember when I was leaving the country. I mean, they ask you to get to the airport 3 hours before you right. have to fly out. And I was there 3 hours before. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a bit excessive, surely. But when you look at what's going on in front of you and the people that are ahead of you in the queue, there are people having their bags unpacked and they're waving magical wands through the bags and looking for, I don't know what. You'll be able to tell us, I guess. And but you're not upset about it because Israel has to be so pedantic when it comes to security, and I'd rather take my time and be safe than just sort of be rushed through. Now that process has been streamlined somewhat since I first went to Israel. It's a lot quicker to get through now, and bags aren't necessarily, you know, absolutely taken apart because, you know, when you're leaving Israel, you've got so much stuff and souvenirs and everything. You've really got to pack carefully to make sure everything fits without your bag bursting open. The last thing you want to do is unpack it again when you get to the airport. But what happens underneath with the luggage? What are you saying?
Well, I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons that it's gotten better and they've become more efficient and it's a faster process is because the equipment, the technology is so much better. So your bag, Jono's bag and Ross's bag, goes through a series of conveyors and they literally scan it and inspect it with some very, very high, sophisticated equipment. And it goes through three or four separate scans, and each one, it's either a pass or a fail. If it's a fail, it doesn't mean that it's hand inspected. It goes through another inspection. Anyway, through this series of inspections, if it finally fails, what they ultimately do is then they actually go in and inspect it. So a lot of that stuff we used to do years ago where you had to open your bag and they go through it, they don't really need to do that anymore. I mean, they have equipment that's doing all that. And you and I have talked about this. The volume of people that are going through Ben Gurion is so much increased over the past few years that they've had to upgrade. I mean, it's just a demand on them.
But and listen, we've spoken about that before. There are consistently records being broken in as far as tourism, as far as passengers arriving through Ben Gurion Airport. Ben Gurion has Israel's had to promise, what is it, like a $1 billion upgrade or something in Ben Gurion Airport just to deal with the amount of people that are flowing through and the amount of tourism that Israel's receiving.
Yeah, I will tell you this about security. This hit me and I don't want to forget it. In a year's time, that particular Ben Gurion Airport, they go through more than 10,000 different assessments of their security protocols and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean yes, 10,000.
Really?
That's yes. So they have, and they also do a lot of knowledge sharing with other airports and so forth, you know, not only in the States, but in Europe. And you know, they coordinate some of their efforts, like, you know, what do we learn? Lessons learned from incidents in other places. And so Israel is at the front edge of this security. You know, not only do they have plenty of enemies out there, But they do such a good job at security because they've had to. They've had to learn, unfortunately, because of the way that they are viewed by many people in the world today. But yeah, 10,000. It was unbelievable when we got some of that training. We learned all kind of stuff.
That's incredible. We have to go to a break. I want to continue this when we get back. Now that you are back, my friend, from the Holy Land, I'm really looking forward to hearing more about this. We will be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I'm Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Dorn, Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. We went to the break talking about, 10,000 security checks that that Israel conducts. Is this just at Ben-Gurion Airport? Is this or is this
yes.
all? This is blows my mind.
Yep.
All right, come on.
Yep.
You've got to unpack some of this. Just tell us a little bit more about what goes on.
Well, so every one of the employees has certain required training things that they have to go through and assessments to ensure that they're on top of their game. And that can range from, you know, what the bad word is profiling here in the States. You can't profile. Well, they clearly profile in Israel, and they're proud of the fact that they do, and they do it well. But they go through, depending on what your job is, they go through training in that. They go through training on what to look for in certain situations. And then all of these assessments, when you look at it across the entire spectrum of the airport and the personnel, they're clocking in 10,000 assessments. So it's total. But still, that was a remarkable number for me. They've also, since you and I were there, they've expanded. They have a temporary wing that they've just to handle the flow of traffic through the airport right now. You know, they're going to expand it as we've discussed, but they've got a temporary check-in area just to handle the passengers that are coming through there. So, but yeah, airport security was really fun and interesting. And like I said, we went down in. We got to go behind the scenes and look at how they do what they do. And, you know, and one of the things that I think a lot of people need to know when they think about going to Israel is how much security is actually there, some of which you see, some of which you don't see. And we'll talk about that on this program, if you want to, throughout the land of Israel, how much security is going on.
Look, I would love to. Just talking about airports, I do understand that there is, and we've spoken about it before, the airport at Eilat is opening very, very soon. We may utilize that, by the way, in 2019 for our Tanakh tour. And, perhaps, because I'd love to do a bit more of a focus on the south. Now, this year, we're, of course, doing a bit more of a focus on the north. So I would be interested in the security that we don't see in places like Judea and Samaria, and certainly the Samarian hills, that sort of. Did you get to areas like that?
We did. Yeah. One of the things that was so impressive about this course, not only the caliber of people that they had teaching the classes, these weren't like underlings. I mean, these were like the chief of police in Israel, which, by the way, in Israel, the police is a national organization. You know, it's not like in the States we have a local sheriff or a city police or whatever. One of the things that was very, very interesting about this particular training was that there seems to be this seamless transfer of authority when an incident takes place. God forbid, an incident takes place. When the police show up, they are in control. There's not like, well, who's got it? The FBI, it's the police are in charge. Everyone knows it, and it's just not, you don't have to guess. So But we got to listen to the people, like the top person on explosive devices. In other words, anytime there was a terrorist act where a bomb was set off, this particular man was at every single one of them. Like, he's been at every one. He knows his business. Mm. Whenever they were talking about interrogation of suspects, you know, it was the same thing. The people that talk to us are the people who actually did it. Mm-hmm. So we got this incredible sense of this very united front, a very strong people who are dedicated to the security, not only of the people that live there, but the tourists. I mean, everybody knows that. Let me give you an example. Let's talk about the old city for a second.
Sure.
Now, have you noticed when we're in the old city, have you noticed the cameras that you'll
yes.
see up, you
mm-hmm.
know? Okay, so get this. There are 452 cameras in the old city alone.
Wow.
Now, here's the good thing. It's not like that. Sometimes you see something on the news where somebody robs a store and you can't, it's grainy, you can't hardly see it. Not these cameras. These cameras, they show them. And by the way, they only have women manning the position at the cameras, because when you go in Jaffa Gate, see, I know where these places are now. You go on Jaffa Gate, there's a police station right there by the Citadel. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. where I'm talking
yep,
about?
Yep, yep.
Inside that police station, we were invited in, my class and I, and we went inside the control room, and they have this wall just covered with monitors. I don't know how many monitors. It was just lots of monitors. And they cycle through, and they're constantly doing this. And I didn't really notice that they were all women, but the officer in charge said, "Have you noticed they're all women?" And then, yeah, I noticed now. And he said, "The reason we do this is because," and some of our listeners will probably like this, some of them may not, but the women definitely will. They said, "Women are better at details. And so we only use women in this particular job because they are better at picking up detail." I guess the guys would be talking or whatever. These women are there, you know, they're watching these videos.
That's really interesting, because what I thought you were going to say was, because what we often hear is that women are better at multitasking. And that's certainly the case.
That's right.
But that's the case with my wife, most certainly. She can have a few things going on at once, whereas I just can't do that. I just can't. I don't have that ability. I'm very single focused individual, and I will get distracted and confused if I have to focus on multiple things at a time. You're telling me that you're in a room full of screens, which they're constantly cycling through. But it's not just because, generally speaking, women are better at multitasking, but they have a greater attention to detail, is what you're saying.
They mentioned both, actually, Jonah. They mentioned both. They said they can multitask and they're better at the details. So, for instance, they showed us a video in part of our training where a gentleman walked by a parked vehicle in the old city, and you can see him. He looks on the dashboard and he sees a telephone. And he looks around, he reaches in, and he grabs the phone, and he quickly walks down a corridor, mm-hmm. you know, one of these streets. And so one of the officers there watching the video sees it. They zoom in, and they just operate camera after camera after camera. And you know the winding streets in the old city. This person goes into a house, and within 13 minutes, he was arrested.
Wow.
Because the police moved on it. And so one of the things that I was so, I guess it really made me feel better about leading these tour groups. If somebody loses something or you leave a bag, we call the police station. We tell them where it was. Mm-hmm. You know, when was the last time you saw your bag, Mr. Jones? And he says, "Well, I set it down somewhere," whatever. They can go and they can track that. And if somebody picked it up, they'll find it.
Right.
And they talked about their rate of arrest was like off the charts because the security is really good. And some of these speakers some of these video cameras are equipped with speakers too. So they can speak through the speaker into the street and say, "We see what you're doing there. Don't even try it."
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. They had a couple in a park right outside, you know, at Gay Hanum. They had a couple that was making out, a young couple, and they came over the speakers and told them, you know, we see what you're doing. Of course, they're embarrassed and they clothe themselves and get out of there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, security's really great. Now, here's the other thing. The old city walls are equipped with thermal cameras. Now, all this stuff is probably top secret. We're just telling everybody in the world. But can you believe that? I mean, this is the security in the old city is off the charts. It is really, really good. I was looking at the old city walls. I saw it, you know, when I was in the police station, but it was just to see the level at which they protected the citizens and so forth in the old city and around Jerusalem, around the whole country, actually. It was really impressive, really impressive.
Now, how long was this tour? I think was 9 days. Is that correct?
Well, technically, the school itself was 7 days. You know, we started almost as Shabbat came in. We had to meet for a briefing. It was like late in the evening, just to kind of get us ready because it started on a Sunday, and it ended with a very relaxed out briefing where we just got together and we talked. But it was 7 full days. And we ran nonstop. We went to the Gaza border. And I mean, we literally went up to the Gaza border. There were demonstrations right after we left. One of those kites came over, you know, that we've talked about.
Incendiary kites, yeah.
Yep. And we ate lunch in Sderot. We talked to some of the citizens there about life under fire. Because when I was there, one of the first nights I was there, I think there were more than 200, let's call them projectiles. I don't use the word rocket. Rocket tends to present this idea that it's guided. Some of these things that they're shooting up, they're just hoping and praying that they hit something. But nonetheless, 200 plus rockets were fired. And these people were happy. And, you know, one of the things that I found impressive was that so many of the residents there, some of the people that were on the trip were saying, why do you live here? You know, why wouldn't you, you've got a family, why wouldn't you move to another place further away from the problem? And without exception, their answer was this: this is our land. This is our home. We're not going to move because people are acting badly. They're going to act right or we're going to deal with them, but we are not moving. It was a very good message.
Courageous, courageous people in those communities. We're going to another break. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with John Evandor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. We have been discussing the adventures of Ross for the last 6 weeks in the Holy Land on a counter-terrorism training course lasting 7 days and some other things we're going to be talking about in this segment as well. But keep going, Ross. What were some of the other things that impressed you? What were some of the highlights of this counterterrorism training course that you did?
Right. Well, let me shift to the highlights because I don't want to give our listeners 7 days worth of this, but I can tell you we learned a lot about the enemies that Israel is up against. We were put through some very intense training courses on radical Islam and the neighbors, and then what do they do in order to protect the citizens? So we went to infrastructure sites. We went to a shipyard. We went to a chemical plant. We went to hospitals. We talked to first responders and doctors and you name it. So it was really an incredible time. And then we also got to see some really good things. Like when we went to the Golan, one of the things that we got to experience was we met with a team there called Operation Good Neighbor. I don't know. Have you heard of this?
I have heard of it, yeah.
Okay. So Operation Good Neighbor was in full swing. One of the Army Israeli Defense Force guys told us that morning he had helped several Syrians who came to the fence for help. Mm. And so Israel's doing some incredible things. Not only are they protecting their own citizens, but they're even opening the doors and allowing people in for treatment and help. Mm. And it was really heartwarming to see. And then finally, after going through this extensive training, which, by the way, Jono, is going to really help on our tours, I feel so much more confident, and I'll be able to share a lot of that to our participants along the way and point things out as we're walking down the street.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to that. We should remind everybody that, of course, the Tanakh Tour number 4 with yourself, me, and Rabbi Tavia Singer is coming up this November. There's a few seats left available. We would love for Israel on My Mind listeners to join us. We also have our tour guide, Gershon, who was recommended to us by Tamar Yona of Israel News Talk Radio. And wonderful recommendation. He's a great guy, really is a very good tour guide. But between yourself and Tavia and Gershon, I'm really looking forward to having a very enlightening a tour this coming November. So, dear listeners, if you would like to join us, truth2u.org, truth2u.org is the website. Just follow the links there. Otherwise, you can go to Israel on My Mind Facebook page, Israel on My Mind Facebook page, and there's links there as well that'll take you to our tour. Ross, keep going.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited about the tour because, you know, like I said, things that I learned, I can't wait to be over there with a new group of people, show them the land, give them the confidence that we have in the security there. We finished off our time together in this training course with a night to honor this relationship between the U.S. and Israel. We even got to meet Ambassador David Friedman and his wife, Tammy.
Oh, that's right. Now, there were photos of you with the ambassador, and there were various photos at this formal. So what was this particular meeting? Tell me, because it just seemed very formal.
So all of these people were representing their home jurisdiction. They had their dress uniforms on. And our good friend, Patty Tyler, sang the national anthem both for the U.S. and she also sang Hatikva. Mm-hmm. So it was a wonderful night. It was a very fancy ordeal. And then we wrapped that week up, and then I went to the wilderness.
Then you went to the wilderness. Now, before you go there, shout out to Dave and Patty Tyler. She's got a wonderful voice. I mean, what an incredible voice she has. Now, if anyone wants to participate in a training course like the one that you have just done, how would they do that?
I tell you, I'm working closely with Dave and Patty Tyler's company as a consultant. And one of the things that we're doing is we are working very closely with state, federal, and any group that feels that this would benefit at their home place. And we're helping to arrange to get people enrolled in this program because it's really about knowledge share. As Israel puts it, we unfortunately have had to learn to deal with terror. But fortunately for you, we want to train you. We want to help you with our lessons learned. So we are able, Dave Tyler and Patty Tyler and myself, we are working right now to help get other people aware of this program, get them enrolled, get them to work with the Israelis and hopefully save lives. That's our goal.
Now, if someone wanted to do that, who would they contact? What is the contact?
The easiest thing is to contact me because that is my job now. I am working very hard to get people in this course.
Is that an email address or what would that be?
Yeah. Email me at rosskknickels@me.com. So if anybody wants to do this, get with me. I can give you more details offline.
Okay. Otherwise, you can also find us at, as I mentioned before, Israel on My Mind Facebook page, and Ross will definitely get back to you. That's great. All right. So now, listen, you went from there to the wilderness. You didn't go alone. You went there with your son, Toby Nichols. Now, Toby is, as you've mentioned before, he is a movie star. I've recently just started watching Iron Fist.
Iron Fist
on Netflix to your recommendation. He is really good at that. You know what? I'd like to see him in the sequel, the Wonder Woman sequel with Gal Gadot.
Well, we would too. We would like to see him in that as well. Absolutely. And I know Toby would. Yeah, Toby is our youngest, Tobias. He is our youngest of six, and my wife told him that, you know, Daddy's going to be gone for another almost 30 days. And he said, what's he doing? He said, he's working in the wilderness as a volunteer. So I volunteered to help Biblical Tamar Park. They suffered, you remember when the flood came through in the spring, they suffered some damage at the park. So they needed somebody. It's hard to get people to go to the desert of Israel in July and August. I did it. In a way, I always feel like when I get an opportunity to do that, in a way, I'm blessing Israel. I'm showing my affection for the land. And it's nice to get out on a tractor. Not so nice in 120-degree weather. It probably averaged 110, to not exaggerate. Yeah. But we did a lot of work, and so my youngest son was able to spend 24 days with me in the desert. And we did, not only did we work, Sunday through Friday for about 6 hours a day. You know, we would start at 5, 6 a.m. and knock it off around noon. We'd usually take a little break, a nap, whatever. You're pretty exhausted after working in the heat. And then 3 days a week, generally, we would do things. We would get in the car, and one day we went to a lot. We went to Masada, Qumran, all the places within driving distance. Mm. But we took a couple of trips to Jerusalem. We went to Timnah. Have you ever been to Timnah?
I'm not sure that I have.
Timnah is this incredible place. It's got some natural formations, geological formations that are beautiful and stunning. But there are also ancient copper mines there. So we did that. We went to the Israel Museum.
So wait, now tell me, is that Solomon's copper mines? Shout out to Andrea Weinberg of Friends of Israel. It's a group on Facebook. If you're not already a member of that group, then you should go and join it. It's a great group, Friends of Israel. And a shout out to Andrea. And she mentioned, hey, do you reckon sometime on the Tanakh tour we can get to King Solomon's copper mines? And I'm assuming they're one and the same, what you're referring to. And perhaps next year when we take a focus on the south, we may do that. One of the interesting things about that area is that they found last year, I do believe, fragments of material that included the pigment of blue, which opened up the discussion of Tehelet. What is it, a color or is it a colorance? And it turns out that these particular fragments were colored with the plant woad as opposed to the sea slug that's used in traditional Tehelet. Really, really interesting stuff. I'm fascinated with little details like that. But is this also the same area where you took a photo of the famous mushroom?
Yes, there's a mushroom there. They have several of these beautiful geological formations. It looks like it does, in the U.S. out west.
Now, let me just ask you about where you were and where you were volunteering, because you say that there were the flash floods that that unfortunately claimed the lives of many young people. And it was very sad, but as part of those flash floods, it did a lot of damage to Biblical Tamar Park. Now, what is Biblical Tamar Park in Erevot? Because there's quite an archaeological survey there, and it was a lot of the work that you were doing in relation to the archaeology there, or was it in relation to the park itself in as far as accommodation and facilities?
Mainly the facilities and accommodations. I did meet with a friend of mine from the IAA who came down and we did a quick survey. He wanted to show me some things that, got damaged, mainly just because of fill. Imagine when this rushing water came through. This archaeology site is massive. The park is 55 acres. But the archaeology site covers, as you know, a large bit of ground, and a lot of the dirt and silt came in and filled in some of the places which were previously pristine. Mm. And so we've got to pull together some teams, and we will. In fact, Dr. James Tabor and I are working right now to do some restoration on the archaeology, but that's the kind of work you do in the desert in the winter.
Right.
So we're going to be doing that. But yeah, we mainly worked on the facilities and did some cleanup. We also trimmed the orchards, beautiful date palm orchards, and we did a lot of work on the ground. So that was primarily what we did there. But it was a nice trip for my son and I, for sure.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad that Toby was able to join you. We missed you dearly, and we're very, very happy to have you back. We're going to be doing this again, of course, this time next week, dear listeners. Thank you for joining us. We hope you join us again then. And once again, thank you very much to our special friend, Jason of Jewish Dublin Walking Tours, for filling in while you were away.
Absolutely. And listen, everyone, please, if you've not been on one of our Tanakh tours, we've only got a few seats left. So if you feel like it's time for you to go, go to truthtoyou.org and sign up.
That's it. truth2u.org. Otherwise, follow the links from Israel on My Mind Facebook page. Until next week, dear listeners, have a great one.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.